The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We have concluded our conference, our ministerial conference, as the ministers and their wives make their way home today. And we get back at it here at the headquarters campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. Thanks to all of the substitutes filling in over the last four programs, I guess it is. Sam Livingston, Richard Palmer, Dwight Falk, and then Andrew Locher yesterday. Sam, by the way, has made the program today very easy for me. We've got coming up on today's show, we've got the end of the year montage. So if you, I think we might be having a little bit of trouble with the YouTube stream at the moment. But if you get a chance to see this later on today, I would recommend looking at it. It still has some really good sound together with it if you just hear the audio. But the video, I think, will be even more interesting for you to watch. So all total, it's like 40 minutes in length. So as I say, it'll be a quick and easy show for me today as I set up the montage here in just a few minutes. A couple of responses to the last couple of shows. This one, I believe, in response to Mr. Locher's show yesterday. Excellent show, excellent commentary. We need more. And then another one says, hi, I sometimes listen to your show while working out. Great show. Thank you. And then he refers to Romans 1 and verse 22 about professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. It says borrowing more money for this nonsense, talking about the spending in Congress. You can clearly see, it says, the agenda to destroy the United States and Canada. Now, whoever comes up with this nonsense is either very dumb or doing it on purpose. Either way, it's foolishness. A couple here in response to Dwight Falk's show. Looks like it's on YouTube at the moment, so that's great to hear. But this says, great show. I love the facts, wide topics covered, and interesting lessons. It says, I needed it. I needed this encouragement during this time. I'm keeping my faith, but I'm feeling so hopeless. And this listener goes on and talks about how there's no work during lockdown. They're looking for a job and so on. So it's been very difficult. It says, I pray that God will hear my prayers and bless me with a job. I must be patient. Another one here says, Mr. Falk has such a calming, inspiring voice. So there you go. Mr. Falk is in the control room at the moment. Says here, wow, another fantastic show. I love how you have glorified God in this powerful episode. Keep up the good work and happy Sabbath. So that was a comment that came in on Friday. Richard Palmer has a trumpet brief that went out last night talking about the very latest, on the Brexit deal. The UK making a relatively clean break and leaving with a fairly good trade deal on top of that, something that quite a few people over there didn't think was possible. And there's quite a few Brexiteers that are quite happy with this deal. So Mr. Johnson, the Prime Minister over there, I guess redeeming himself somewhat after caving in to all of the COVID pressure. This is from Richard Palmer's trumpet brief last night. It says, as Nigel Farage pointed out, some parts are far short of perfect. Speaking of this deal, it gives the EU a lot of control over our fish, for example, but it looks like the deal many Brexiteers wanted and many Remainers said was impossible. He goes on to quote from this other commentator, Richard North. And then further on, this is toward the conclusion of Richard Palmer's trumpet brief, it says, but it would take a bigger revolution than Brexit to free the country of this. The big takeaway from the deal is that we are finally and properly leaving the EU. And of course, as you know, if you've been following this show or reading our material for any length of time, you know that this is something that's prophesied. Herbert Armstrong was talking about this decades ago, and Richard brings that out at the end of his piece. It says, in 1945, broadcasting as World War II ended, Mr. Armstrong predicted that Germany would rise again within a European Union. This union, he was adamant, would not include the UK. It wouldn't include the UK. It says, when Britain joined in 1973, he said that Britain would not be part of the superpower that would rise out of the common market. And then Richard writes, today, it is clearer than ever that he was right. How could he make this forecast or these forecasts with such boldness? And well, it's because of Bible prophecy. And Richard refers you to an article that he wrote earlier this year. I think it's in the April edition of the Trumpet magazine. Brexit, as it says in that article, was prophesied. So I'd encourage you to read the Trumpet brief that went out last night. And then also go back to that original article from the April edition of the Trumpet magazine. Well, just to set up the montage that we'll play here in just a second, the year in review, what a year this has been. This world has just, all of these earth-shaking events from the very start of 2020 all the way through to today. You watch this montage and you think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, that we're living in the last days. This know also, Paul said, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 and verse 22 that it's going to get so bad that unless God intervened, there'd be no flesh saved. God has to intervene. He has to intervene, and that's one huge takeaway from this end-of-the-year review. God has to intervene to stop the madness, to stop the chaos, to stop the violence. Herbert Armstrong wrote in Missing Dimension in Sex, he says, since it's a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, this fact means only one thing. Civilization as we know it is on the way down and out. Unless, it says, unless that great unseen strong hand from someplace soon intervenes and saves today's sick society. You see all of these hooligans roaming the streets. Of course, that was a big story over the summer. You'll see some of that in the footage. Rioting, looting. That's just a total family breakdown on display. Where are the fathers? What has happened to the families? Just one of many problems that we're facing today. Paul went on to say, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Isn't that what we're seeing all across society? Verse 3, this is 2 Timothy 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And then Paul concludes here, or at least the thought that I want to conclude with, verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Yes, we've got to turn away from all of this worldliness. Come out from among them. Come out of this world. 1 John 2, Revelation 18, 2 Corinthians 6. God says, come out of this evil. It might have a form of godliness. It might have an appearance, a ceremony or a ritual to it that looks like it's religious. We've come through all of these pagan holidays. And there's still many people on earth today that are convinced that this is very holy. This is a holy time. and that this is a pretty good world. It's not. It's not a pretty good world. This world is dying. It says there in that verse, they deny the power thereof. They deny the power of God. God's authority, God's the scriptures that God inspired, they don't bear any direct authority over people's lives today. And so it's just a complete and total free-for-all. Every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. And you see that. You see that story in this end-of-the-year montage. We'll take a short break and then come back and conclude today's program with 2020, the year in review. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A U.S. contractor has been killed in an attack on an Iraqi military base.
Angry crowds attacked the U.S. embassy in Baghdad.
The top Iranian general has been killed in an airstrike while leaving the Baghdad airport.
He was a war hero.
Qasem Soleimani was no ordinary general. In Iran, he was a national hero.
He's regarded as personally incredibly brave. The troops love him.
I was trying to think of somebody, and I was thinking of De Gaulle.
And that the Iranians have now responded, begun attacks, it claims, on several air bases here in Iraq where U.S. troops are based.
Iran now admitting it shot down a Ukrainian passenger plane by mistake.
That plane on Wednesday killing 176 people who were on board it.
Yeah, I thought that was a little jarring and certainly, I think, off message, because you heard Nancy Pelosi there say, in fact, that this was a sad and tragic day. And then there she is holding up the pin and having photographs taken with those pins. So, yeah, I think it was a little off message.
You know, people are going to be studying this for a long time.
Just the ceremony of it, walking over, delivering the articles of impeachment.
Why, this is history, Nia. This is history unfolding.
She said he's been impeached forever. They can never erase that.
And oh, there's, we know a, that's there's something... a sacramental statement.
Yes.
For life, you know.
Donald John Trump, President of the United States, is not guilty as charged. The Senate sitting as a court of impeachment stands adjourned, sine die.
President Trump and his team victorious.
President Trump in his third address to the nation tonight, just short of about an hour and a half.
Let me just interrupt. Did you just see House Speaker Nancy Pelosi ripped up the speech right behind the president as...
A deal has been agreed on the future of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, who are to step down as working royals in the spring.
It was so many months of talks after so many years of challenges. There really was no other option. We're not walking away.
The UK has left the European Union.
It is potentially a moment
of real national renewal and change.
Greatest moment in the modern history of our great nation. Thank you.
The toll from that deadly coronavirus now grows, spreading from Wuhan, China, and tonight that first case here in the U.S. And in the city of Wuhan, where the outbreak began, patients now in isolation, all trains and planes out of that city halted just tonight.
China has had enormous success in beating down its epidemic. So people were literally quickly taken away from their families to these giant gymnasiums or stadiums where there were, they were not concentration camps. They were beds, you know, there, and there were nurses in protective gear to watch out for people. They even had dance classes in these things. It's not a bad policy.
Perhaps China's authoritarian ways did prevent this, meaning had China been a free and open society, this might have spread faster. There are extreme quarantines. Has that worked?
Well, you know, it has. I mean, that's not the usual thing you do. Their efforts have been draconian, something we never would be able to do here.
We want people still to go on about their lives.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
Americans do not need to panic.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
There's very little threat here.
Just you and me wearing these masks, that could actually sometimes be more harmful to you than not wearing a mask.
Face masks are not recommended for the general public.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency. This afternoon, we're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days.
I don't believe that this is going to be a short-term issue. I think we're looking at a matter of months, and people should start to calibrate that into their expectation.
Literally here in New York City, it feels like a wartime environment.
Talk about lockdowns, that certainly they were extremely successful.
You could literally kill someone because you didn't want to wear a mask.
Yeah, okay, search warrant for what? What are you suspecting me of doing?
On one gram of my underwear.
What's this about?
High-powered drones will be used to find people not wearing masks and cars too far from home.
A drone is scanning for COVID-19 symptoms, and they can use them to spot and warn people who are gathered too close. They can also detect whether you're running a fever, sneezing, or coughing heavily.
Tackled to the ground and forced into custody.
What authority did you nullify the Bill of Rights in issuing this order? How do you have the power to do that?
That's above my pay grade, Tucker.
And now, a few people walk into the Oval Office, say, sir, we have to close up the country.
And
I said, what are you talking about?
Mr. President.
Like, if I would have not done it, we would have been unbelievably criticized for not doing it. But it's never been done before.
Yep.
Somehow the word got out that this is the thing we're supposed to be doing.
I was in New York City yesterday. It was a pretty day. There is a density level in New York City that is wholly inappropriate.
We end up projecting these multiple rounds of social distancing that takes us out to 2022.
When you relax that social distancing, you could very well see an increase in the infection rate.
When you see a crowd, when you see a line that's not distanced, when you see a supermarket that's too crowded, anything, you can report it right away.
Social distancing has got to be the new norm.
Experts are warning that relaxing social distancing without having tracing and testing programs in place means that a lot more people could die.
During this reopening, social gatherings should not be more than 10 people, even if they're outside.
Images of these large crowds at beaches on Saturday, at outdoor restaurants, water parks, not keeping social distance. Does this still make you confident that reopening beaches and parks was the right call.
So we really want to be clear all the time that social distancing is absolutely critical.
This does not look like social distancing to me. Should the health department come in and start arresting people or issuing citations?
I think what also stands out about the size of this crowd is in the age of COVID-19, in the midst of this pandemic, for so many people to show up in support of George Floyd and the situation that's going on here amidst everything that's happening with the pandemic, I think speaks volumes about the incident that happened here yesterday and how people feel about it.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
You know, Brooke, I think this is a march, really.
As they're coming off, it's peaceful. They're saying peaceful protest.
People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
Thank goodness for the looters, man.
I mean, any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Okay, again, understand the anger, not the actions. These people are fighting for their liberty. So if you can understand wanting a haircut, not wanting to wear a mask, wanting to go in a store and be able to cough on anyone, then you should understand these people who are frustrated and who are protesting on the streets of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and in other parts of this country.
I mean, the status quo of our society is racism, and it's comfortable for white people.
So even the most liberal, well-intentioned white person has a virus in his or her brain that can be activated at an instant.
Because you have white privilege. So if they see that a white person is getting on their knees, that shows solidarity for the situation. And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
Not a great way to use your white privilege, ladies. Not a great.
About racism, anti-blackness, or violence.
Under the banner of social justice. But in truth, it would demolish both justice and society. Their goal is not a better America. Their goal is to end America.
Say hello to the latest addition to the global family of nations, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, formerly known as downtown Seattle.
Oh, City Hall!
Thank you.
violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa that's happening in Portland right now?
That's myth.
Dealing with imaginary things like Antifa.
Much of Beirut is shattered this morning by one of the most powerful peacetime explosions ever.
It's killing at least 70 people and injuring more than 3,700.
2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate.
According to the governor of Beirut, more than 300,000 people in the city have been made homeless.
Thousands of people have taken to the streets of the Lebanese capital, Beirut, in anger at the country's leaders. Some protesters have stormed the foreign ministry building, declaring it the seat of the revolution.
The Lebanese government's mass resignation was surely inevitable.
With a tidal wave of anger sweeping the country, President Macron stepped onto the shattered street. But the French leader did something here that no Lebanese politician would dare to even think. He came and showed his face.
What's happening here is quite spectacular. President Macron's come onto the streets. He's meeting people and hearing their concerns. And for many, they are seeing something that they've perhaps never seen before. And that's his real leadership. And that's why they're coming to him to demand for change.
The firestorm exploded across the West as many were sleeping. Ferocious winds fueling massive infernos from California to Washington.
The orange glow from wildfires burning miles away, shrouding the city's landmarks, the smoke blocking out the sun. The middle of the day felt like dusk, and it is unnerving. And those fires continue to rage across the western United States, driven on by strong dry winds, burning more of California this year than ever before.
Rioting has to stop. Chris, as you know and I know, it's showing up in the polling.
Just a few moments ago, I hosted a very special call with two friends, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed of the United Arab Emirates, where they agreed to finalize a historical peace agreement.
The United Arab Emirates and Bahrain have signed a deal to normalize relations with Israel.
These agreements prove that the nations of the region are breaking free from the failed approaches of the past.
Well, this deal ends a decades-long economic boycott of Israel.
But I was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
President Trump officially nominated for a 2021 Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm pleased to announce a truly historic commitment. Serbia and Kosovo have each committed to economic normalization. After a violent and tragic history and years of failed negotiations, my administration proposed a new way of bridging the divide.
Breaking news from the White House, where U.S. President Donald Trump has announced that Israel and Sudan have now agreed to normalize their relations. Sudan now becoming the third Arab nation this year to do such a deal.
The U.S. president has once again been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Sir, do you believe I got three nominations
for the Nobel Peace Prize. Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
Are choking the post office.
How many mailboxes were removed? Where are the mail sorting machines?
So in effect, by tampering with the Postal Service, he is in effect putting his knee on the neck of American democracy.
This administration has shown it will tear our democracy down if that's what it takes for them to win.
Joe and Kamala can win by 3 million votes and still lose. Take it from me. So we need numbers overwhelming so Trump can't sneak or steal his way to victory.
We have a national mandate to wear a mask, not as a burden, but as a patriotic duty to protect one another. In short, we'll do what we should have done from the very beginning.
That sound that you hear all across the country is the sound of Democrats exhaling. That's what that is. People would have accepted anything. We just wanted Joe to get out there. So, you know, sometimes when he gets out there, you're afraid he's going to make a mistake. He's going to have a gaffe. The set expectations are just so low.
You know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances.
What they're doing is using COVID to steal an election.
Right.
They're using COVID to defraud the American people, all of our people, of a fair and free election.
They are trying to steal the election.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Claire, that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had for the first few weeks.
But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. This is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
Does anyone believe there'll be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected?
We have a president who is a liar and is willing to kill Americans.
There are thousands of my fellow New Yorkers who are dead right now, and it can be directly attributed to the president's lack of action.
Donald Trump caused the COVID outbreak in New York.
He's got the blood of 200,000 Americans on his hands. But also the destruction of the economy didn't have to be what it was.
If the president had done his job, from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people, I'm not making this up, just look at the data.
Supreme Court Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died at the age of 87. Just weeks before the start of the court's fall session and in the shadow of a presidential election now just 45 days away.
So Article 2 of our Constitution says the president shall nominate justices of the Supreme Court.
So I think that if in fact, they are successful in placing a justice on the court, I think that what Democrats have to do, assuming that Biden is president and there is a Senate majority for the Democrats, we need to think about court reform. And at a minimum, as part of that reform package, I think additional justices need to be placed on the Supreme Court.
One response from the Democrats might be to pack the court.
What we'll do is very simple. We'll add D.C. and Puerto Rico as states. That's four new senators. We'll add two new Supreme Court justices.
They'll know my opinion of court packing when the election's over. Now, look.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, they don't deserve. I'm not going to play his game.
Yes, I think it's very important. I think this will end up in the Supreme Court. And I think it's very important that we have nine justices.
The Senate has now voted President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, confirmed in record time.
And I learned so much about coronavirus. And one thing that's for certain, don't let it dominate you. Don't be afraid of it.
From a public service point of view, don't be afraid of COVID. No, be
afraid of COVID.
Jake, this is so disrespectful. I'm not even sure I can speak about this. It's incredibly disrespectful. What does that mean, don't be afraid of it? I mean, first of all, it's a contagious disease that kills people. There's nowhere to even begin. It's gross.
It's such a distressing moment.
It's just so horrible, so destructive to say, I feel better than I have in 20 years.
That he's saying this is so disrespectful.
The president says it's no big deal. I mean, it's outrageous.
It is insulting to the people who have lost loved ones. It is insulting to every American who wears a mask. I mean, it's disgraceful, Wolf. It's absurd.
Don't tell your supporters, don't be afraid of COVID. Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
The reason we talk about a red mirage is, in fact, because we believe that on election night, we are going to see Donald Trump in a stronger position than the reality actually is. We are sounding an alarm and saying that this is a very real possibility, that the data is going to show on election night an incredible victory for Donald Trump. When every legitimate vote is tallied and we get to that final day, which will be someday after election day, it will in fact show that what happened on election night was exactly that, a mirage. It looked like Donald Trump was in the lead, and he fundamentally was not when every ballot gets counted.
That there's nothing illegitimate about taking a few extra days or even weeks in order to make sure that all the votes get counted.
Under no scenario will Donald Trump be declared a victor on election night. And we think that that's really fundamental to how we want to approach tomorrow.
Let's try to do it a little bit. This is looking a little bit right now like a replay of 2016.
City of Milwaukee says that they will have all of their votes counted by 3 a.m.
Before that we were going to hear from the Milwaukee that they were going to do a huge dump of vote from Milwaukee at 3 a.m. Eastern time. They've now pushed it back to 5 a.m.
But why does it take so long, Arnon? I mean, you've got 70% of the vote in some of these cases, and they've been counting, you know, all of these ballots all day long. You know, why does it take so long?
An election today, right? I mean, they knew it was coming.
Right now, again, the president leads by just about 100,000 votes and about 4 percentage points in Wisconsin. But again, still too close to call.
5 a.m. we're going to get a big ballot dump, and he takes his first lead, does Joe Biden.
From Georgia, apparently at the State Farm Arena, they were delayed 4 hours because of a water pipe burst in that room.
The numbers haven't moved. Martha, what did you say? There was a water main break there?
Yeah.
That paused everything tonight.
Precincts accidentally reported zero of 191 until all precincts were uploaded and tabulated. We're working diligently to compile all votes, and we'll continue the effort of processing absentee ballots at 11 a.m.
In terms of Philadelphia not reporting any more absentee ballots tonight, and that may be taking a couple of days.
That's a real possibility.
Especially since they stopped counting at 10:30 at night. I'm not sure why. I mean, just because I guess everyone has to go home and they have to come back in the morning.
Yes, they're normal people, Martha, as opposed to us.
So wait a second. Now you're saying Georgia is probably not tonight. Michigan is probably not tonight. Wisconsin's not tonight?
I think there's a good chance that that's where we're sitting.
And Pennsylvania's not tonight. He is up 600,000 votes in Pennsylvania. So that he can make up 600,000?
It is theoretically possible, yes.
We knew that those seven counties told the Secretary of State's office a few days ago that they were going to man the polling stations tonight and then worry about the mail-in ballots tomorrow.
Despite reports that Philadelphia had stopped counting its ballots, officials say more than 2 million ballots are still being counted, mostly in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
And there are 3 million mail-in ballots that are being counted.
I'm here to tell you tonight, we believe we're on track to win this election. We knew because of the unprecedented early vote and the mail-in vote, it was going to take a while. We're going to have to be patient until the hard work of tallying the votes is finished. And it ain't over till every vote is counted, every ballot is counted.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election frankly, we did win this election. For the good of this nation, this is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's not a question of who wins, Republican, Democrat.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lindsay Davis. Thanks so much for streaming with us. We've been listening to President Trump addressing the nation for the first time since the wee hours Wednesday morning. He's been making a lot of, frankly, false accusations, baseless claims, and that's not being partisan. That's just stating the fact.
In Georgia, I won by a lot.
And there, the President of the United States addressing the American people for the first time, claiming that if you count the legal votes, I easily win. Nancy Cordes is with us. There were a couple of statements that the President made.
Iowa, Indiana, Ohio.
Okay, here we are again in the unusual position of not only interrupting the President of the United States, but correcting the President of
the Democrats. But in all cases, they're so one-sided.
We're watching President Trump speaking live from the White House, and we have to interrupt here because the president has made a number of false statements.
Now, tens of millions of unsolicited ballots without any verification measures whatsoever.
Well, we're interrupting this because what the president of the United States is saying, in large part, is absolutely untrue. He began, and we're not going to allow it to keep going because it's not true.
That is the president of the United States. That is the most powerful person in the world. And we see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over.
Former Vice President Joe Biden.
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 Biden
Jr. is elected.
President-elect.
President-elect.
46th president.
President-elect.
Character matters. It matters. Telling the truth matters. Being a good person matters.
I don't know why I'm crying so much, but what got me choked up was the picture of the cab driver.
And so I'm very emotional. So when you ask me how I'm feeling right now, I'm sorry. That's all I can tell you. This is how I feel right now.
Nobody knows what it feels like as a black man to be able to speak in this moment.
If you're an immigrant, you don't have to worry if the president's going to be happier to have babies snatched away or send dreamers back for no reason.
Me too. I started crying again when I heard the bells from Paris. I keep crying. I'm going to cry now. Go away from me.
You're going to make me cry.
We don't care who you are. We don't care if you voted for us or not.
Remember, just because CNN says, or even Fox News says that somebody's president doesn't make them president. So I think everybody wants to know that this was done properly and legally.
What is happening? Trace, we've called it.
This election is over.
Election officials calling the 2020 election the most secure in American history.
But unless the legal situation changes in a dramatic and frankly an unlikely manner, Joe Biden will be inaugurated on January 20th. To say this constitutes living in reality.
Tonight, and the breaking news is that, you ready? It is over. The desperate refusal to admit the reality everyone else has seen for 16 days now, it is over.
Christopher Krebs told us it's ironic that the disruption and disinformation he feared from abroad came instead from Pennsylvania Avenue.
The president says you're dead wrong about election security, and to him you say what?
There is no foreign power that is flipping votes. There's no domestic actor flipping votes. I did it right. We did it right. This was a secure election.
And President-elect Biden has now received a majority of electoral votes needed to win the presidency.
As expected, Joe Biden received 306 electoral votes, Donald Trump 232. And legal experts say after today's vote, the ability to change the result in court is gone.
And the Constitution makes today both the day and the last day.
Today, the Electoral College cementing President-elect Joe Biden's victory.
Do you want me to read this now? Some breaking news. California putting President-elect Joe Biden over the edge.
Joe Biden's official win now in the Electoral College.
If there was any doubt Joe Biden is the president-elect, and there really wasn't any,
It was definitively erased today with the vote of the Electoral College.
You know, in this battle for the soul of America, democracy prevailed. His own national security advisor told him that what is happening with his buddy, his buddy Rudy Giuliani, he's being used as a Russian pawn. He's being fed information that is Russian, that is not true.
And I'm thinking about the Biden family, like, how are they doing this? I know Joe decided not to run in 2016, but what if he ran in the future? Aren't they taking political risk or headline risk? And I remember looking at Jim Biden and saying, how are you guys getting away with this? Like, aren't you concerned? And he sort of looked at me and he laughed a little bit and said, plausible deniability.
This whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin.
The issues with the Bidens that are absolutely invented, imagined.
A series of lies peddled them by Rudy Giuliani.
Last week, Giuliani and former Trump official Steve Bannon provided the New York Post with unverified emails.
Every major national, international, and local news operations looked into it and said it's a lie.
Operation looks right out of the Kremlin playbook.
Has all the hallmarks of a foreign interference campaign.
Unverified accusations about Hunter Biden's financial dealings.
And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking...
He's
of course
not.
He is,
no.
Leslie.
Come on.
Of course he
is. Why don't
FBI.
You want to report this?
Well,
this is the one of the most powerful families in Washington. Biden family. And you're okay? You're okay with our interests being sold out to profit Joe Biden and his family when we're suffering during a pandemic from communist China? He's
absolutely,
doing shady business deals with communist China? You're
well,
comfortable, okay?
As you know perfectly well, I'm a journalist and a reporter and I follow the facts. And there has never been any issue.
Yes,
in terms
this.
Of corruption.
And we are back with breaking news in our 2020 lead moments ago. President-elect Joe Biden's son, Hunter, announced that the U.S. attorney in Delaware has notified his lawyer that the U.S. attorney has investigated Hunter Biden's taxes. And Evan, what more do we know about this U.S. attorney's investigation?
Jake, we know that this is an investigation that began as far back as 2018.
This whole Georgia recount thing, you know, in Fayette County, they had 2,600 ballots not counted. Floyd County, 2,700 ballots not counted. That's about 7% and 8% of the total voters in those counties, Brad Blakeman. I mean, this is significant. If
every American should be outraged by the dysfunction of our national voting system. And thank God for Donald Trump not conceding, because we would have never known these things. This would have been swept under the rug. The press wouldn't have focused on it. Donald Trump is doing a great service in exposing the dysfunction and the criminality and the negligence and the incompetence of our voting system.
Can you calculate how much of a vote that accounted for Biden and how much for Trump?
Close to 600,000. I think our figures were about 570 some odd thousand that all those spikes represented over time.
For Biden?
Correct.
And how much for Trump?
I think it was a little over 3,200.
Well, the universe of the votes was only supposed to be 120,000 mail-in ballots. We were told there were 6,000 ballots remaining. So I said, okay, we have a universe of 126,000 votes. And then when I get back there, the universe wasn't 126,000 votes. The universe was 200,000 votes.
If I was an executive at a publicly traded company, I would never sign that because I risked jail time and having all my money taken from me in lawsuits.
Batches of ballots being ran through the tabulating machines numerous times, being counted 8 to 10 times.
This is actually pretty unbelievable. The Trump campaign today presented surveillance footage at a hearing on election fraud in Georgia. The footage appears to show poll workers pulling ballots out of suitcases after they told poll monitors to go home.
And why are they only counting them whenever the place is cleared out with no witnesses?
I mean, what the heck? We spent all day trying to find out exactly the context here. We reached out to officials at Fulton County, Georgia.
They didn't answer any of our specific questions about this footage. We're going to keep pressing because, again, that's on tape and it's unbelievable.
Those 8,000 pages of depositions, I was told by our attorneys tonight who are on the ground that they do feel that those are comprehensive enough where if the judge reads them, even without hearing from these witnesses, that they're strong.
If this was a clean election, then Joe Biden ran the greatest campaign in presidential history. Over a century of records and trends in this election, and the media is not even curious about it. I mean, how do you have a down ballot wave on one hand and then the opposite wave on the top of the ticket? That hasn't happened for 120 years. Donald Trump, the incumbent, actually got more votes in his reelection race and ended up losing. That hasn't happened in 150 years. That Joe Biden lost 17 out of the 18 bellwethers. That Joe Biden won less counties than Hillary, 200 less counties than Barack Obama, and still came out ahead. That Joe Biden lost Florida, lost Ohio, and still won the election. That hasn't happened since 1960. Why isn't the media saying, Joe, what's your secret?
They cheated like nobody's cheated before, and they got caught. So nobody can go in and say, oh, congratulations on running a good race. They didn't run a good race. They cheated. They dropped hundreds of thousands of ballots.
Right.
They did things that nobody's ever seen, and we caught them.
But your guys have been unable to prove it as of now. No, if something
excuse me. We've proven it, but no judge has had the courage, including the Supreme Court. I am so disappointed in them. No judge, including the Supreme Court of the United States, has had the courage to allow it to be heard. The Supreme Court, all they did is say, we don't have standing. So they're saying essentially that the president of the United States and Texas and these other states, great states, they don't have standing. They didn't go into the evidence.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. And we will never back down. We will never, ever surrender.